This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. Hope your Thanksgiving week was fantastic. Mine was pretty good. And the NFL's Week 13 continues along tonight with Minnesota and Seattle. It made me think as I was watching games yesterday. We always hear about this. Oh, the owners want an 18-game schedule. And I know eventually it's probably going to come through some sort of negotiation with the Players Association. But the reality of it is, doesn't the NFL season feel like it's just right? You can make the argument baseball is too long. Nobody cares about the NBA until we get to Christmas Day. The NHL still plays, and I have no idea where we are, how many percentage of the games we've played up until that point. But with the NFL, you get 4 months. And so much can happen because there is a lot of parity in this league. It's the one thing you hear all over and over again about the NFL, right? They set you up to be 8-8. They set you up to be 500. Everybody is set up. And then if you go above that and you lift your team above that, good for you. And if you fall well short of that, we've got some problems and maybe changes are in order, whether it's to player personnel or to people on the sidelines coaching the team. But nevertheless, there's always this feeling like everybody's, should be around. Everybody has the same tools. So you can look at a team like the Tennessee Titans that went 2-5 to start the season. And we make these proclamations like they're no good. They're rotten. They don't have a chance. But in reality, if they find lightning in a bottle, like we've seen teams happen before, they can start producing something and make some noise. And that's exactly what's happening to them. Pittsburgh Steelers are the same way. We are 13 weeks into this thing. And if you look at the playoff standings, it is now starting to show the kind of separation you were looking for. The AFC is not as jumbled as it was when we gathered at this same spot a week ago, right? The Steelers and the Titans have moved ahead of Oakland and Indianapolis. The Browns, with that really, really bad loss, have put themselves in a position of probably not making the playoffs, despite the fact that there is an easy schedule ahead of them. You're starting to see separation, but what's interesting about it is it can get jumbled up again with just a few wins and losses here or there. We'll talk about the games that mattered yesterday, the big one including the Ravens and the 49ers, and what exactly is going on with Pittsburgh anyway. That all coming up as we roll along on a Monday, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Glad to be back from the Thanksgiving break. Hope everybody's turkey day and the rest of the weekend was fun. Yesterday, a lot of big games that have importance and value. The Baltimore Ravens-San Francisco game was really not one of them when you think about it. Now, it was for the Ravens and it was for the 49ers in the sense of vying for home field, making sure you have the good records, etc. But the playoff implications weren't on the line. Playoff seeding is always on the line, right? It's usually, even if you're a fantastic team, it usually runs until the last game of the season in order really to secure your seeding. So it had that implication, because when the 49ers lost this game through a Justin Tucker field goal, I didn't feel bad for them. I didn't feel like, oh, I feel bad for the 49ers. They played a really tough game in tough conditions on the road. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be outstanding. I don't care what it means. I don't want to dissect into the numbers. 49ers are an outstanding football team. I really wish, this seems to be the sentiment of a lot of people, I really wished that game, as much as I listen, and I love weather games. I like rain, cold. I like those kind of games. I like that football weather. I wish this was played in better conditions. I really wish I could see exactly Lamar Jackson the way I know he can play and the way the 49ers can play. But the conditions really dictated a lot of difference in strategy, and it became more of a hard-fought, physical, running football game because of the weather. Lamar Jackson didn't play great statistic-wise, but he played well enough to win. And that's a scary proposition for teams. If he can have a game where the conditions sort of dictate a less than Lamar Jackson and they still find a way to pull it off, that's a scary Ravens team. But that was a fine game in and of itself of two really good football teams that could meet in the Super Bowl. Now, the games that where teams were kind of desperate, like that game happened in Pittsburgh between the Cleveland Browns and the Steelers. And the Steelers were going with Delvin Hodges, a quarterback. He replaces Mason Rudolph, but they don't have Juju Smith-Schuster. They don't have James Conner. Marquise Pouncey's been suspended. There's a lot of missing pieces to the Steelers, and yet they go out and win this game. And I know, look, the Browns, they had a lot of missing pieces too, especially Myles Garrett. But where is Cleveland? Like, what happened to this Browns team with the confidence, the moxie, and everything that they possessed? That when they were given an opportunity by the schedule gods to play a team like the Steelers and everybody else on that schedule except Baltimore that is beatable, winnable, and winning out would probably get you into the playoffs, how they could go on the road and lose to the Steeler team without any sense of, we got to take care of this. We've got to do this. This is now a lost season for the Browns, and don't ever believe any of the hype of any team building anything together. Oh, wait, you could do that because it's not Cleveland. I mean, reality is, this is Cleveland. And I feel bad for the people there because they had a team on paper that looked sharp enough and good enough to make a run at the playoffs. If not the playoffs, then something decent. And again, what do they see in their own division, right? What do they see in their own division? A Ravens team that found its quarterback again. And, oh, by the way, the Steelers keep finding ways to beat us when it matters the most. That 2.5 weeks ago, when we beat them, we can't sustain that level of excellence all the way through. And now they can't. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're 5-7. They're not getting in at 9-7. They're not. And it's too bad, but it's not too bad because so much of their hype really had to do with us and the media, the fans, etc. Because they were putting together a really good team. But the reality was Freddie Kitchens was running it, and Freddie Kitchens is in way, way, way over his head. And a lot of this is on Baker, too, and a lot of this is on everybody else within the organization. But my God, I mean, like, and I love my team. Don't get me wrong. I love the Steelers, and I root for the Steelers and everything. But I also look at these games objectively, and I have for years and years and years, because that is part of my job, to give you an honest assessment. I don't drink the Kool-Aid on my teams because that doesn't serve you guys well at all. So I kept waiting for the Steelers to cough this one up because they didn't have anybody. And I kept waiting to go, look, it would be, you know, eventually the Browns are going to figure this out, right? They didn't. And Hodges comes, he loves to fling the football. That's the thing. He loves to fling the football. And now Cleveland is on the other end of the playoff race, and the Steelers are still in it, despite this season of complete and utter roster shuffling that they've had. It's really been a remarkable work of Mike Tomlin. And I'm going to say this, and I tell you guys all the time, I take this objectively, but I also have a little bit of fandom in me. I want the Steelers to make the playoffs, obviously. I will root for them. I don't think they're going anywhere. I don't think they're going to make any noise at all. And I won't care. I will not care. I will not be disappointed if they lose. And that's not just sort of, you know, it doesn't matter to me. It's not that. It's when you know your team is overachieving at such an unbelievably high level, you'll just enjoy it until they tell you to stop. Because eventually somebody better is going to tell this team to stop. If they indeed make it to the playoffs, and Tennessee is right behind them, I mean, Tennessee is breathing down their neck. But if they were to hold them off and they were to make the playoffs, I'll just sit back and enjoy every second of it. Even if it's a blasting by whoever they play in the wild card round. Because it's an amazing to lose Ben, to not have your backup quarterback work out, to go to a guy no one's ever heard of playing quarterback, to lose Juju a lot, to lose James Conner a lot. It's It's overachieving on another level. But this is more about Cleveland than it is about Pittsburgh, because it was really disappointing. A lot of other games we gotta get to. Last night, the Houston Texans finally slayed the beast and beat the New England Patriots. There's problems with New England. Don't look at the numbers. I know the numbers are if you're just box score looking and see Tom Brady 326 for three touchdowns. No. That's not the game you got. Those were two late touchdowns. One, the last one that he threw, I didn't think the Texans were playing defense. I didn't know. I wonder if they thought, there's plenty of time. Let's run over there. And then they almost got the onside kick. But nevertheless, the Patriots they're struggling on offense. And the Texans at 8-4, look, they've got Tennessee breathing down their necks too. And the Texans are still a team that is flawed enough that you wouldn't be surprised if they struggled a bit, but good enough that you wouldn't be surprised if they made a decent run to the playoffs. They're that crazy of a team. Deshaun Watson had a fantastic game. Three touchdown passes, completing 18 of 25. Those are good numbers. And he also caught a touchdown, essentially, when DeAndre Hopkins sort of flipped it over to him and he ran into the end zone. But this was, this has been Houston's nemesis for a lot of years. They've been unable to beat the Patriots at times when they really didn't need to beat the Patriots. And if the Patriots are to win and go to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to find a way to get their offense clicking. I mean, look, the numbers are deceiving. This was not a good outing at all for Tom Brady and that offense. They've got to figure something out, because they can go to the Super Bowl by having all the games in Foxborough with a flawed football team. And they play well at home. There's something about them in the playoffs at home. And they still can get there. Right now, that belongs to the Ravens. But, we still got a number of games left. So the playoffs could run through Foxborough, and a Patriots team that's visibly struggling. Like, you can watch them and go, this is not the same feel. Defensively, still good. But even defensively, they weren't that good yesterday. And you still get that feeling like if they were to host those games in Foxborough, that they could go to the Super Bowl again. And you go like, all right, maybe, the Patriots go again. But right now the AFC is running through Baltimore. Right now it is the Ravens conference. So there's a lot of other knickknacks around this league we got to get to. We got to get to some stuff in the NFC as well, as the Rams are trying to stay alive and stay into this. Drew Locke emerges in Denver what a crazy week that has been for Denver. Well, Drew Locke, but he comes in and he beats the Chargers. Other games to get to, again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Coming up next, we'll look at the NFC playoff picture and the teams that are making a bit of a move or a bit of a statement there next on SB Nation 8.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, need a last-minute gift? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. They have several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge, a 20-in-1 multi-tool, storage containers, even a universal backup camera. Or you can get a professional-quality power torque tool set starting at just $19.99. Who doesn't love gift cards? You can even buy gifts online and pick them up at the store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, so the NFC playoff picture. Oh, by the way, did you feel bad for San Francisco? I didn't feel bad for San Francisco. They're great. Good team.
I mean, it was a good game.
Yeah, Justin Tucker, the opera singer, boots a field goal and the Ravens win.
That game was a lot of fun to watch.
There really was. I mean, again, I wish it was on better conditions, but I don't mind conditioned football. I don't mind wet and snow. And
you know what?
Nonsense.
When it's raining like that, I'm always amazed that these quarterbacks even throw the ball.
Oh, no kidding. They were talking about it before the game. They said Lamar Jackson knew the weather was going to be bad, so he started practicing with a wet ball. I'm like, even when you're practicing with a wet ball, that's still at game speed and game conditions, as much as you could try to emulate that in practice and simulate that in practice, I don't think it matters. I think you get in there and it's like, that thing is going to be slippery. Because you're playing with a wet ball, but you're not playing in wet conditions, right? Like, you're just playing with a wet ball. It's not overall wet everywhere you go, right? Like that's just a condition you have to sort of either learn how to play in over the years. But I wish it was be interesting if when on a neutral field if it was 75 and sunny.
Like in a dome.
Maybe a
or
dome.
Or in a dome condition. Yeah.
I mean, heck, even if it was in Baltimore, would have stayed in the conditions.
That game, I know we're going to throw the tagline Super Bowl preview. I mean, it very well could be a Super Bowl preview.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
If that was the Super Bowl, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't mind it so much.
That was, you know, I think those two, and it sets up a good rematch down the road.
Yeah, very good. It was very good. But, oh, God. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, this is the first time we've done the show since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was a game.
Man, oh, man. It's precarious.
Just say man,
right?
Oh, man, one more time because I don't even know what to make of
it. I have no idea what to make of losing three of the last four, can't score touchdowns, can't put points on the board. The last two games against the Patriots and the Bills and on the road in New England, those were bad conditions. So you almost gave them a pass. But the Bills at home, and they looked terrible. And here's the funny thing about this, okay? So you go Thanksgiving Day, you watch the Cowboys get bombed by the Bills, and they don't look good, and they're 6-6. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? The Eagles are all injured and all beat up, but they're going to Miami to play the Dolphins. And the Eagles can't take advantage of that?
Nope.
Is this a division any of these teams want?
No, nobody wants to win.
I mean, for the love of Pete, the Eagles have no reason to go. They should have taken the Dolphins super seriously. They should have said, look, they are a team we can beat in these facets. You know, despite the fact that we're hurt, we have better players at these positions here, here, and here to take advantage of it. But guys, look, the division is now up for grabs. The Cowboys are at 6-6, and we're playing a very beatable team. We are going to stomp on this team's throat until they can't breathe. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they're going through. I don't care what kind of turmoil they're in. I don't care. We bury this team. And they were up by two touchdowns, and they lost to the Dolphins. And I should make a rule. If you lose to the Dolphins, you can't make the playoffs.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right?
Nothing wrong with that rule.
If you lose to Miami's got four wins on a season in which 0-16 would have been fine with them. Right? No, sorry, they have three wins.
Three
my
wins.
Apologies. They'll get four. They'll get four.
They're going to win next week.
They're playing the Jets. What will they play? The Jets
again.
They
play Jets next week.
And the Giants and the Bengals. They might have six
by the time
this is over.
And we accuse them of tanking.
Barry, the beginning of the season, this is why I said this at the top of the hour. The season is long enough, but it's short enough, right? It's not just right. They'll add a game or two here. But you can't make proclamations early. This was historically one of the worst teams in the NFL. Their numbers were mind-boggling in the beginning of the season.
Well,
and even
though
they were at the beginning of the season, they were like 10 points, no points, 6 points, 10 points. They hadn't scored more than 10 points in the first 4 weeks of the season. They didn't get to the 20-point mark until week 6, right? I mean, they were
trading away everybody.
They were giving up the most yards and the most points of anybody by a mile. And they might go 6-10.
And let's not forget, they had a chance to win a game early,
right,
and ran probably the worst 2-point conversion attempt ever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ever.
And their wins this year have come against the Eagles and the Jets and the Colts. Now, the Eagles and the Colts were teams vying for a playoff position.
Yep.
Playoff spot.
Well, you would think.
Well, yeah.
For both of them.
At the time?
Yeah, at the time, yes.
At the time? And now they could win three games to close out the season and finish 6-10, which, what would be 6-10 to the Dolphins? Mediocre season. Ball didn't quite bounce our way.
Yeah, but it's kind of
a
bad idea for them to do that because then they're hurting their draft stats.
Of course! This is the movie Major League.
Yeah, they're taking themselves out of number one overall draft pick contention.
Stephen Ross is like, oh, thanks for going 6-10, guys, ruining our plan.
Did everything I possibly could.
Thanks for having pride in your profession. I tried my best to secure the number one pick. And you guys go 6-10, and now we're picking 8th or whatever it might be when it's all said and done. My goodness. I mean, and again, it goes back to the Eagles. It's amazing they blew this game. It really is amazing they blew this game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were up 10-0. They were up 13-7. They were up 21-14, 28-14 in the third quarter. They give up three straight touchdowns and a field goal.
And then were the butt of a meme.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
If we can, or a GIF, if you will.
Yep.
Of running. I mean, you and I were talking about this before the show started. It seems so easy to defend that play.
The special teams play?
The punter to kicker touchdown.
That was amazing. That was amazing because there's no blockers.
None.
Right? There's no blockers on the play.
And he's not going to get up in time if you spread them out enough.
So you have two guys there, and they have a clear shot at the guy who's, I think, Matt Hack. Is that his name? Hack?
The punter.
He's the punter. I couldn't care less. He's a punter for the Dolphins, okay?
I mean, sure, he's gotten a lot of work in this season.
Sure. But he takes the ball on it. There's no blockers. Everybody's spread. And the Eagles hesitate enough to go, oh, what's this? What's this trick? And then he finds the kicker in the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, right? How nervous do you think that kicker was? Because just kind of floating to him. Because it wasn't really a pass.
This is one of those plays, right? Do you remember when the Colts had that against the Patriots where they had one center and they lined up in some weird formation?
Yes.
And the Patriots blew it up and it became the butt of jokes for a long time.
Yep.
This is one of those plays. If you do it, right, it's brilliant and it works great and it's fun and it gets Twitter mentions it and everybody goes nuts. Or if it doesn't work, it looks stupid and Twitter mentions it and everybody talks about it, how dumb you are, like the 2-point conversion play you had against the Redskins the year before. But I watched it 3 or 4 times on Twitter. And I'm still amazed that nobody went, oh, screw this. I'm going to get that guy.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, wait, whoa.
I mean,
Let me just stand right here for a split second.
Even the guys covering the, I guess, receivers, I'm not really sure what to call them.
Right.
Because I know some of them were linemen. Even those guys, why didn't they just step off and go, I'm just going to run? Once they saw that the punter was moving to his left, why didn't they just bum rush him?
Oh, I know.
I mean, I know they did, but they hesitated.
Yeah, they just paused. They paused long enough to make the play work. Like, just surprised enough. That's all you need. You just need a split second where you can make something happen. But, God, what a long flight that must have been back to Philadelphia, realizing, my God, we could have tied the Cowboys straight up in the lead, and now we're still a game on.
No, I'm just curious. We would need to know from Philly fan. Because, you know, like, when teams win championships – and there are people who are waiting at the airport at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
3 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm wondering if there were any fans waiting for them to get off the team plane to throw Rotten Tomatoes at them.
I drove an hour to boo while you walked off the plane.
Because I mean, that's Philly fan would do that.
Oh, of course.
No other fan would. No other.
Of course.
Everyone else is like, oh, I'm asleep. Forget this team.
Well, so the NFC picture is very fun because teams are going to start playing each other, like the 49ers and the Saints. Packers, the Cowboys are leading their division. Seahawks play tonight against Minnesota. And that's good. I mean, then you got the Rams at 7-5. Now, the Rams won yesterday. They beat Arizona. God bless them. But the Rams, this is going to be interesting because we're starting to lose the luster of Sean McVay, right? Somebody we all went nuts over last year, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. Had them in the Super Bowl, albeit got help from a pass interference, non-pass interference call. But nevertheless, they get humiliated on Monday Night Football by the Ravens, right? Humiliated. Ravens made it look way too easy. What was it? 7-for-7 on scoring drives?
Yeah.
Was it 5-for-5 on touchdowns?
6-for-6
on touchdowns. 7-for-7 on scoring, right? Embarrassing. Now, you play Arizona in Arizona, and look, the Cardinals are having one of those little seasons where we're rebuilding, we're building up, we're getting our rookie quarterback and our rookie head coach up to speed. We're fine. It's nice. We're not expecting much. And we hope they give you good. They go out and beat them. Todd Gurley runs over them. But you need to build up Jared Goff. Like, Jared Goff had 420 yards passing and 2 touchdowns, but you got to build up Jared Goff because you now have to adjust. You now have to readjust to bounce back after people are starting to embarrass you and your quarterback. And did they do that against Arizona? Sure. Was it against Arizona? Sure. But they still have to play Seattle, the Niners, and the Cowboys in the next couple of weeks, in the next few weeks. They're 7-1-3. They're lurking. Yeah, right.
They could disappear
from this conversation next week with a home loss to the Seahawks. So more on the NFL Week 13. Then again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Some other games in Week 13 as we're going back and reviewing all the fun stuff that happened on Sunday. The Cincinnati Bengals won. They beat the Jets. Our boy can come off the roof of his restaurant. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I was gone for 3 days last week. Didn't you say that he was going to have Thanksgiving dinner on the roof of the restaurant?
I figured he was going to.
Right? Because he wasn't going to leave.
Yeah, you can't.
Or he's going to come down for dinner and go back up?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what his rules are.
He said he wasn't going to come down until the Bengals won the game, and it was getting to be a winner.
I know he does. He does come down to use the restroom.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, thank God, right? That's a lot
of
buckets.
Then he goes, what do you do? What does he do up there? Like, all day, all the time.
Well, it's his restaurant, so hopefully he's got some good Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I was going to see, does he watch TV?
Did he order a Disney Plus? Because that could kill a lot of time.
Did he watch The Irishman when it came out? It's 3.5 hours
yeah,
long.
Yeah, I'm behind.
That could eat up some time.
I had too much family and obligations over the time. Now I finally had the house to myself again, so I can sit down and just sink into The Irishman. I know you saw it.
I watched it. I liked it. I'll give my review later this week.
There you go.
And it'll be spoiler free.
Ooh.
Maybe I'll do it tomorrow.
Ooh.
Spoiler free. But it was. I thought it was good. It was way too long, but it was good. it really was long. There was a moment where I thought the movie was over, and then I paused it, and I'm like, oh my God, there's 37 more minutes of this.
Oh, Lord.
So, because there's one shot, there's a Scorsese shot where you feel like it's, there's like music and it kind of fades and it's like, you feel like, okay, this is where he's wrapping it up. Oh. And then I looked and I went, no, he's not quite done yet. This is like a third, there's like a fourth act or like a 17th act in this movie. It was really good though. Anyway, the Bengals win and they beat the Jets. And the Jets, by the way, if you want to win a football game, play the Jets. The Dolphins were winless when they played New York. They won. Now Cincinnati brings back Carson Palmer. What's his name? Not Carson Palmer.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton. Yeah. Shoot. My brain. See how quickly I forgot Andy
forgot
Dalton?
Forgot about him already.
The Red Rifle.
Yep.
I totally forgot about him.
Benched Finley.
Carson Palmer. He hasn't played for the Bengals in like 10 years.
I think they look to him, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's like the last remnants of something decent.
You know what else the Bengals did?
Well, by the way, the reason I'm excused from forgetting about Andy Dalton is because you and I tried to think of the Andy Dalton moment.
Well, yeah,
Remember that? And we still are trying to figure out.
Well, no, actually, we came up with it. It was the game-winning touchdown to send the Bills to
the playoffs. That's right. That was the Andy Dalton moment.
Off.
But remember, we had a guy on Twitter that said he was like a high school superstar. And I'm like, we have to go back that far to figure out. What's the defining moment of an NFL quarterback's career?
Not even college superstar. We went high school superstar.
We didn't even do anything at the time he was at TCU. And I think he won the Rose Bowl or something crazy like that.
I'm certain he had amazing things going on for him at Pop Warner level.
Right.
Do you know what the Bengals win did yesterday? It broke a streak.
What was it?
Remember that infamous black cat that ran onto the field?
Yeah, that's right.
Cowboys Giants?
Yeah.
Ever since that black cat appeared, team names with cats or with cats, some sort of cat in their mascot.
Right.
We're 0-12 heading into this weekend.
Who did that kind of crazy statistical analysis?
I mean, it's not that hard to think about, you know, the teams that are playing that are going 0-12. You got the Jaguars, Panthers, Lions, and Bengals. That seems pretty safe that.
Hey, listen, I'm all for goofy, crazy statistics, and my brain does work in a weird way, but I didn't even think about doing that.
Not, neither did I. But they were 0-12 heading into this weekend. Now, 1-15.
Wow. Yeah, well done, Cincinnati.
Yep.
Well done.
Had to end a cool streak.
Yep, that's right. And by the way, the Jets had won three in a row going into that game.
They just did not look
stupidly.
They did not look good at all.
Stupid. Yeah, they didn't even get into the red zone against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They had won three in a row, and albeit they played the Giants, the Redskins, and the Raiders. Okay, so they weren't beating, you know, solid top of the line teams here, but it was three wins in a row. Sam Darnold was partying and hooking up in New York. Everybody was like, okay, you know.
Now we can point our finger saying that's the problem with the Jets team.
But you looked at their schedule and you said, okay, look, I'm not going to get a playoff team, but will I get a team that could fix some things in December? Oh, look, they're playing Cincinnati. Well, the Cincinnati Bengals haven't won a game. Oh, look, they're playing the Dolphins. Well, we lost to them. But are we really going to lose two in a row, two to the Dolphins in one season? Ravens, okay, that's tough. Steelers, third string quarterback. The Bills at Buffalo, well, even money. Lose on the road to Cincinnati. Look terrible. Look terrible. And you know what, though? On a serious note, we can make fun of them all we want. This is the kind of problem that you have in this league, right? Look, I'm not saying Sam Darnold needs to be excellent and efficient. But when you draft a guy third overall, he's your franchise quarterback. He can have a bad game or two, but he can't have this kind of swing. Right? Like, he can't go from being really good and efficient against the Raiders in a blowout win and then go on the road and play a winless team with the worst defense in the NFL, giving up the most yards per play, the most rushing yards, most passing yards, all of those statistics. The Bengals are dead last in, and then look terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible and completely inefficient. And he cannot get his team to the red zone, to the red zone. That's the kind of stuff that's going to drive you crazy. Now, they're not a good team statistically, but Darnold has to play. He has to play at a level where even when they lose, it's like, well, you still did some good things. They lost. There's still some problems in other areas. There's some things we got burned on defensively. There are some things we couldn't execute, but our quarterback played decent, or our quarterback didn't play well, but he wasn't god-awful and didn't look like he belonged in the league. That's the frustration of Jets fans, is you have to get a quarterback that at least can deliver some semblance that he can play in this league. And Darnold can play in this league, but he can't have these wild swings like this. You know, it's like if you're a professional golfer, you can go out and shoot a 72, 73, 74, 75 every once in a while because you balance that out with occasionally shooting 64, 66. But you can't shoot 66, 87, right, and be a competitive professional golfer. You can't shoot 90, right? You have to be in a range to be on the tour. And Darnold has games where he's not an NFL caliber quarterback. And then there are games where he has it. That's inexcusable. That's an inexcusable loss. And I'm not saying that maybe the Bengals sneak a win. It happens in this league, right? It just does. But you can't lose 22-6 on the road to Cincinnati, even if it's on the road. You can't lose 22-6 when you don't get in the red zone against a defense as horrible as theirs.
Yeah, I think that's the larger picture to take away from.
Right.
I mean, if they lost 22-20, we're like, yeah, hey, you know
fine.
What?
It happens.
Bengals figured it out for a day.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe the ball just didn't bounce your way. But, yeah, 22-6, where you didn't even get to the red zone, you didn't look good at all during the game.
And we say it all the time. We try to calm people down a little bit with these bad NFL teams. These are still professional football players that good teams will take when the opportunity arises, right? Well, there are players on the Bengals that could play for the Seahawks, that could play for the 49ers, could play for the Patriots. There are a few of them on there that could play on a very, very good team because they're professional athletes.
Well, we'll make the joke, and I'm certain the joke was made in Ohio over the last couple of weeks that the Buckeyes could beat the Bengals.
Sure.
But we, you and I both know that would never happen.
Never happen. Never happen.
It's impossible.
Those players are too good. They're just collectively and coaching wise and all of the scheme wise, matchup wise, just it's not working for them. But you're right. If the Jets had lost 22-20, fine.
Oh, we're not even really talking about it.
22-6 when you don't get to the red zone is absolutely inexcusable. Now, I know we're talking about, I get it. We're talking about a 4-7 team going in and a 4-8 team coming out, but it's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. Ridiculous. So
But they have a chance next week. I mean, if they lose, say they lose to the Dolphins, the Jets are the bottom of the table now.
Absolutely. They are bottom of the division.
We never would have thought that early on in the season.
Nope. Nope, not at all. One other thing I got to get to, because this is actually might be good news on a Monday for us, because I think Gardner Minshew now takes over the Jags.
Oh, he's got to.
All right, now the Jags going nowhere. They're 4-8 too, but they got. I am blown away. Nick Foles coming back has been as ineffective as he has been.
He's been terrible.
He's been terrible. He has been terrible. And you know what was sad? Look, were the Jags winning a bunch of games with Gardner Minshew? Yeah, they were winning enough, but they weren't world beaters. They didn't go on a 6-game win streak or anything. But he was fun and he was good and they were being competitive and there was an energy and excitement. And the franchise, because it felt like we're married to the decision that we had at the beginning of the year, they had to abandon that plan because they didn't have the guts to say, I know we put a lot of money in Nick Foles. We hyped up Nick Foles in the offseason. We felt like we were a better team with Nick Foles coming in as the quarterback. He's a Super Bowl MVP for crying out loud. But they were too married to that idea that they didn't say, you know what? We have found somebody else. And I think they've now gone, that's the guy now.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, it probably felt so demoralizing for Nick Foles to watch Gardner just lead the Jags down the field on a touchdown drive.
Oh, yeah.
Like no right kidding. Out of the gate.
Right. And just go, oh, my God, you kidding? You kidding? I can't.
I mean, totally what it reminded me of was that movie, The Replacements. Where Keanu Reeves came in at halftime and Nick Foles, in the locker room going, I can't do anything with this team. And Minshew was probably like, I can.
Yeah, totally.
And the stash gets out there and does it.
It's just, and it's so interesting, this league, isn't it? It's that your circumstances, and Foles has a great perspective on all this because he's got this strong faith and he does look at the larger picture. He doesn't get into the minutia details and figure out where he is. The funny thing about this league is you can go from winning a Super Bowl to being pushed aside for a 6th-round draft pick overnight. Overnight, nothing is set. You can sign a big contract in Major League Baseball and be a team's ace forever, right? I mean, but this league doesn't allow you to do that if you can't produce. And there's always somebody breathing down your neck. And Gardner Minshew had been so fun to watch. And everybody said the Jags are going to have a tough decision to make. He's going to have a tough decision to make. And now I feel like they've made it. They've made it. So back to the stash and the bandana in Jacksonville. All right, coming up next, again, more recap of the NFL. Tony Romo, I love you, but he got one thing really backwards yesterday. I got to bring that up next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So yesterday in the broadcast with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, Kansas City, Oakland, Romo said something about, they were talking about a speedster. Yeah, and Romo said, is he like the Bugs Bunny or who was that, the Road Runner? Tony Romo, you don't know the difference between Bugs Bunny and the Road Runner? What kind of childhood did he have?
Not a good one. Tell him that much.
You had no idea that the correct cartoon similarity was the Roadrunner. You thought that Bugs Bunny, the wisecracking Bugs Bunny, who just stands around and goes, what's up, Doc? He was the speedster?
Well,
he was the guy that was running all over and going beep, beep?
Bugs Bunny was quick with his wit.
Right. Exactly. Like Elmer Fudd would point a shotgun at him and he would turn the shotgun around.
Yes.
Said Elmer Fudd shot himself in the face.
Or get into that argument with Daffy going, it's wabbit season.
Right. It's duck season. It's wabbit season. It's duck season. It's duck season. It's wabbit season. Yes, completely. All the witty banter. And Tony Romo didn't know this? I was blown away by this statement by the former Cowboys quarterback. There is, I don't know why, I don't know where people, like I would love to know Tony Romo, if I sat down with him, like, come on, man, you knew the difference. You just didn't want to admit you knew
right.
the difference?
I mean, but
come on.
Why not admit it? I mean, the other part.
Say, yeah, he's like the Roadrunner.
The other problem
Jim Nance was like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, the other problem is, I mean, he's lived in Texas for pretty much his entire life, correct?
Right, yeah.
I mean, he knows that San Antonio's mascot's the Roadrunners. That's not too far away. That's Cowboy
right.
country.
Right.
You know, they're not they're not the UT San Antonio Bugs Bunnies.
Well, maybe he was like, well, I remember the story of the tortoise and the hare was supposed to be the fastest one, so bunnies, I guess, are supposed to be fast. But
no,
did Bugs Bunny ever show any speed except when he got in trouble and needed to escape something?
Well, was it,
he wasn't known for his speed.
He was speedy on the baseball field.
right.
Remember he used to pitch to himself?
What's the score, Buzz? What did Bugs Bunny do? Yeah, but never. I was very.
But the speedster in Looney Tunes, outside of Speedy Gonzalez, was always Roadrunner.
You'd never get me caught off guard with that.
No,
I would.
Not at all.
I knew immediately. I was like, "Come on, man, give me a break."
Well, okay. Romo. Is it what's worse? All right, I got a little soundbite for you.
Sure.
What's worse, Tony Romo saying that, or letting us know that he doesn't know Looney Tune characters?
Right.
Or this news reporter at the end of the Texans game.
Texans not only defeating the Patriots, but they led the game for all four innings with a final score of 28-22.
You make the call.
Oh, did her producer just go, screw it, just go with it?
Yeah, probably.
I could change that on the fly, but...
They probably just went there and said, yes, we're going to go viral.
She reads everything on the screen.